Amen. It is good to be back in the auditorium, but we're all trying to get used to what all we used to do when we were in the auditorium, try to figure out when you go up and do this and do that, and so you just have to kind of forgive us a little bit. And I like Craig's challenge from the college and career class about the chair. We simply mentioned this morning how we got the new tables, and they are dark, and they match the stain. Well, the stain of the pews and the pulpit and everything, it all became dark. And so now the chairs aren't working out because they're not dark, and we can't stain them. The piano, we're going to have to stain it. No, you don't stain pianos. But anyway, yeah, I said that. Somebody, you know, it was like a panic look. No. We know better than that. Some things we don't know any better, like the floor, but we won't stain a piano. But that's a good challenge, and I know the Revelation class, our class, we can handle it, can't we, class? Amen. That's Revelation class. You don't have to worry about us. And then what's Tim's class? What's your name of your class? Whatever it is. What'd Craig call it? The all food all the time? I don't know. But anyway, building families class. Are you guys up for the challenge? You have a lot of wealth, and so that's three chairs. So where's the other chair coming from? We have the shepherd's class?
From Goodwill.
Goodwill? There you go. I hope it matches. All right. Oh, I'll tell you. See, it's like Bible school already. I can feel it. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, well, somebody think about that other chair, and I like it. Genesis 28, goodwill, amen. Genesis 28 and verse 10. Very familiar passage of Scripture, and certainly not a deep, deep message tonight, but I think a message that'll be a challenge to you. And I hope it's a challenge. It's certainly been a challenging 6 months for our church. It's been so good for us. Honestly, it's been good for so many people, so many needs, just different things God has done, God's provision. Again, the carpet, over and over, it's like the installer unrolled the carpet and just shook his head and said, call the pastor. You know, it's been like that. It really has. And yet, so many blessings, so many good things in this 6 months, many, many decisions made. And some of them by people in the valley, you know, and you do make a lot of decisions in the valley. You make a lot of life-changing decisions in the valley. And we have to say praise God for the valleys. We're not asking for one. Amen. We have to praise the Lord for the valley. Genesis 28, verse 10, Jacob is in a valley. He has left home. He's kind of brought some things on himself. We do, right? We do. With our sin, Jacob has left home. He's away from mommy, and he's all alone. Verse 10, he went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And I want to stop there, and I want to take you back to the beginning of the passage that I read. It says in verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place. And I want to talk to you about those three words, a certain place. It was life-changing for Jacob. It was certainly at the difficult time in his life, a time where he was leaving home. And he was going to find out what God had for him. Oh, what a great thing God had for him. What a great promise God gave him. But it was a certain place, a certain place. And literally, it was a place where Jacob's life was changed. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts. And we again thank you for the last 6 months and all that has taken place. We thank you for giving us a new roof. And a lot of new things on the interior, a lot of upgrades, a lot of improvements, and things we never, never, never could have done. Even the new roof we couldn't have afforded without you doing something miraculous. And we have to believe you did it. And we just thank you for that. But it's not roofs. It's not about carpeting or floors or decoration. It's not about any of that. God, this is a special place because of you and how you've worked in our hearts and our lives. And so I pray that you'll do that again tonight and challenge our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. A certain place, it says, three words that you might casually just read and kind of get past and not think much about it. But he lighted, the Bible says, upon a certain place. And for nearly 6 months, this place. We've been dealing with all kinds of things here in this place. We've been dealing, of course, especially with our roof and our driveways and getting them repaved and paying for all that. We've been dealing with ceilings and nasty leak and ceilings looking bad. And we've been dealing with walls and floors and carpeting and all that kind of stuff. But in the meantime, you know, while we're dealing with those kinds of things, Berean Baptist Academy was going on and we had graduation of Berean Baptist Academy. And young people went on and went out of here and hopefully to do the Lord's will. Amen. While we were dealing with the roof and the drives and the ceiling and the walls and all that, we had Sunday school classes where young people were hearing the Word of God. And not only were they hearing some for the very first time how to be saved, other young people were learning the truths and being discipled in the things of God. Our buses ran all during the 6 months. Buses were running all over Adrian and up in Tecumseh and all of that, and our vans were running, and we were bringing people to church on those buses. Our shepherd's ministry continued for the 6 months and went on, and we saw many, many decisions and lives changed. And we had a shepherd's picnic the other day, and oh, we had a great time, didn't we? And we had a lot of fun, and of course, we ate, and that's always fun. By the way, during that 6 months, while we dealt with the roof and the drives and while we dealt with our ceilings and our walls and all those things, we had junior churches going on. Every Sunday, junior church took place, and 4- and 5-year-olds heard the Word of God, and our primary primary church had heard the Word of God, and our junior church heard preaching every Sunday, and those things were going on. RU took place every Friday night, no matter what was going on with the roof and the floor and everything else. Moms with Tots were meeting on Tuesdays, as they should, and our senior saints, every Thursday, they met and had a meal and fellowship together. Didn't matter that we had to work on floors. It didn't matter that we had to pave the driveways. We just kept right on going. Nurseries were open. They weren't always upstairs. By the way, the last service with the nursery down by my office, guess what was on my desk? A diaper. It was threatened. It had been threatened. The last service, though, sure enough. But you know, isn't it amazing? While the roof is being repaired, the ceilings are being fixed, the floor is being papered, all those things are taking place. And guess what? The nurseries were open all the time, and we had a place for moms to bring their children so that a mom could sit and listen to the Word of God. Amen. The mother-daughter banquet took place during that six-month period and in the midst of all that. And it was an amazing thing on a Sunday night how we tore everything down from the fellowship hall, all that was set up for church, tore it down. It was transformed in not a long amount of time into a banquet hall for the mother-daughter banquet. And that while we were dealing with the floor and the roof and the drives. And ladies' fellowship took place, and missionaries came. We had missionaries, several missionaries come. We had our church services as always. We had tour groups here during that time. Several tour groups from colleges came, And they ministered to us in song and preaching. We had evangelists preach. We had prayer times, and many times people prayed, and prayer not only downstairs, but prayer over in the school as our men's prayer time and ladies' prayer time moved over there. We had prayer here. Some people chose to come on up here to the altar and spend time in prayer with the Lord. And we had lots of preaching. We had music practices. We had choir practice. We had ensemble practice. We had teaching of the Word of God. We had singing, many, many specials. We had lots and lots of altar calls because we made sure that when we moved downstairs, that one thing that wasn't going to leave us, that we were going to have the altar call. We're going to keep having the altar call. We had salvations. People got saved while our roof leaked. People trusted Christ as Savior while we had to repair our driveways. All these things took place. We had baptisms during that time. Folks that trusted Christ were able to come and get baptized no matter what. We had offerings taken, and we have paid all of our bills during that time. We had many, many decisions. We had counseling going on back and forth while decisions were being made about ceilings, while decisions were being made about the roof. While decisions were being made about colors, people were making life-changing decisions in their lives. And all while this certain place was disrupted and things were shifted a little bit and plastic walls were built and signs were put out. And all while we were disrupted from what is what we would call normal, normal went on. And it just kept going. And lives kept being changed. It's a certain place. Jacob, his life had been disrupted. Verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place. He's not at home now. Mom, he's not going to have breakfast. Mom's not going to have bacon and eggs ready for him in the morning. It is sad. He's not going to have his pillow. Now he has stones for his pillow, the Bible says. And everything is disrupted in his life, and yet it is a life-changing time for Jacob because he lighted upon a certain place. And I want to show you some things about this place and what took place here. Number one, I want you to see it's a special place. It was a special place. Verse 11 simply calls it a certain place. I don't believe there's any such thing as luck. I preached a message on that several years ago, and I get kidded about that all the time. And Brother Correa, everything he sees, of course, he's a missionary in Ireland, and his middle name is Luck, you know, with the Irish. And he's given me four-leaf clovers. He's given me a horseshoe, all kinds of things, and says, good luck, Pastor, and you know, green things and all that kind of stuff. We kid around. Now, every time I think he goes to Chinese and gets a fortune cookie and it says something about luck, he gives me that. I've got it on my shelf. I have my good luck shelf. But I don't believe in luck. And I don't believe that Jacob just kind of ended up somewhere. It was a certain place, but it wasn't a place that God didn't know about. It was a place that was the place he was supposed to be. Do you know places are important? In Deuteronomy, 19 times the words or words like this are said this way. The place which the Lord shall choose. 19 times, just in the book of Deuteronomy, 19 times it says the place which the Lord shall choose. We should not be casual about places. We should not think somehow that a place is not important when God 19 times in the book of Deuteronomy, where the law is given and where we're told how to do right, 19 times God says, I want you to be in the place which I'm going to choose. I'm going to tell you where that place is. The place that they were to meet once they were in Canaan. Look at Deuteronomy 12, verse 10. I'll just show you one of them. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 12, 10. And we'll read a couple verses here. I hope you mark these in your Bible. Deuteronomy 12, 10, but when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. And I'm telling you, it is a special place, not just any place. Remember, God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was a special place. God put them there in that place. Elijah, when he prayed and he said, and God stopped the rain from falling from the heavens, and there would be no rain, therefore there was a famine. God said, okay, Elijah, and I'm sure Elijah was wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? Don't you hate it when God answers your prayer and it puts you in a mess, you know? And Elijah's probably wondering what I'm going to do, but God told him, go to the brook Cherith, and here's what God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Where? That certain place. And I'm telling you, if Elijah goes anywhere else, he doesn't eat. Because God had given the ravens the food. Now you say it's probably roadkill, preach. When you're hungry, you eat anything. That's proven by people going to McDonald's. Amen. Now, I'm just saying, if he doesn't go to that certain place, he's going to miss out. And you know what? When the brook dried up, God said, go to Zarephath. And he said this, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Where? There. Now he could have said, a widow woman? You got to be kidding me. I'm going to starve. She doesn't have anything. She didn't. But God has everything. A certain place. A special place. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Elijah, go where I told you to go, and I'm going to take care of you. All over this room are testimonies of people that simply did what God said to do. They went where God said to go, and from there on, their life was changed. I can testify to that. You know, and I have many, many times. Do what God tells you to do. As every time we have the fair, I think about the 4-H fair in Marion, Indiana. And I think about that tent that the Marion Baptist Temple had. And they were a soul-winning tent, and they showed the film, The Burning Hell. And I remember so clearly how my wife and I, before, I believe it was before we were married, it was the summer before we were married, we went to the fair and we walked past that tent and we saw those, and I said, boy, that's a Baptist church, but those guys look like rednecks. And of course, I was a long-haired hippie and she was a hippie-ette. And you know, we're walking by and I'm not going to stop. I'm not interested. But a fella's right next to their tent, and I can still see him all dressed up like the Joker or one of those Kiss guys in the rock group. And he looked like that, and he's making fun of the Christians. And he's got a dunk tank. And he's making fun trying to get people to pay to throw a ball and dunk him. And I wanted to dunk him, all right. But I thought, and he's making fun of the Christians. Oh, look at them. Boy, they're a bunch of rednecks. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, don't go to hell, anybody. Ha, ha. I said, Bren, let's go in that tent. And we were the only ones. And I'm telling you, those people, it was like Kathy Morin. You know, if you'd have seen us, you'd have said, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Because we looked lost. But we were both saved. You could almost tell when they said, when they had a show of hands, it was almost like everybody went, oh. You know, when we raised our hand that we're already saved. But I'm going to tell you something. That was a certain place that we had to go that day. You have no idea what happened last week. You don't know. And I thought, and I watched, and I saw a lot of Doug and Brenda's. I saw them walking at the fair. I watched them. And I'm telling you, you don't know what all happened last week. Because I can guarantee there were people in that tent that day that have no idea that I stand behind this pulpit tonight. They have no idea what's happened over the years. But see, that got us in that church. And in that church, we got married. I'm sorry, we hadn't gone to that church yet, but right after we got married, we started going there to church, and I got laid off from my job. And it wasn't long, and the pastor said, I need a volunteer to help with our Christian school. And there I am with my long hair. And you know the story. I've told it many times. But I volunteered, and I became the coach of the basketball team. And it was in the back seat of a bus, another certain place, a place, a special place to me. The back seat of a bus in between basketball games. And God called me to preach. Now again, what if I say, you know, I don't have time to serve God. I don't have time to do what God wants me to do. I don't have time to do this. I've got other things. I had to be there in that place. And of course, we started a church in Bern, Indiana. We were there 10 years, and God blessed in a great way. But then we went to Shreveport, Louisiana. And I knew that was God's will, but I didn't want to go. But we knew that was what God wanted us to do. And in Shreveport, Louisiana, a heavyset high school boy played, he wasn't that heavyset then, he was a football player, big boy, played football on the public school, high school football team, barely going to church, barely went to church. Came Sunday morning and that was it. Finally, I said, you know, I started challenging him, and we started playing volleyball on Sunday nights, and he started coming Sunday nights, and pretty soon he started coming on Wednesday nights, and he started coming more and more faithful, and I kept challenging him to this and that, and finally I took him soul winning with me, and it wasn't long, and I had him at pastor school one time, and he surrendered. And last Sunday, Donald Tinsley became pastor of that church, Indian Hills Baptist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. You know, people say, oh, why did you leave Bern, Indiana? Well, I just had to go to a special place. Well, wasn't Bern special? Oh, it was so special. But the special place is where God wants us to be. It's just where, don't take that so casually. Don't think it's not important to be in the right place. Jacob, he lighted upon a certain place. He dreamed, the Bible says, he fell asleep and he dreamed, and a ladder set up on earth and the top of it reached to heaven, and literally God showed him the way to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending, and behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. Wow, what, hey, Jacob, don't miss that. Don't miss it. Jacob, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east. You know, people say all the time, well, I don't get much out of Christianity. Hey, are you in the place you're supposed to be? It's a special place. Special place. If only David had gone to battle. The Bible says it was a time when kings go forth to battle. David tarried in Jerusalem. Brother Korea, have you ever thought, what if David would have gone to battle? I know one thing. I know he wouldn't have committed adultery with Bathsheba. What if he'd have gone to battle? What would be the legacy? What would be the story of David had he gone to the place he was supposed to go? But he tarried in Jerusalem, a special place. Number two, we see here a sovereign presence. Number one, we see a special place. Number two, a sovereign presence. And that's the key to the special place. Please don't miss it, because that's really what the message is all about. The key to the special place is the sovereign presence. And verse 16, as our story goes on, Jacob has slept and he's seen heaven. He's seen the ladder, and we sing songs about Jacob's ladder and climbing Jacob's ladder. And he sees all that, and he hears the promise from God. But the Bible says in verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And you know what? We need God's people to wake up. Because here's what he said. He said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place. But I missed it. I didn't realize it. Wow. Christians need to wake up. Just because it says church doesn't mean the Lord's there. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean the Lord's in your home. Oh, that sovereign presence. This place. Jacob had stones for his pillows, but God was there. Amen. Hey, do you know what? We can have paper on our floor as long as God's here. Who cares? As long as God's here. Amen. Amen. We met in the basement of the library, and I told you about that. And when we started there, I mean, it was nasty. We had to mop several times. First time we mopped, it was mud. Second time we got most of the mud up, and then it was just good old fashioned grime. But I'm just saying, as long as God's there, amen. All these things that went on back in the nurseries and downstairs in the nurseries. All the things that went on over in junior church, over in the school, and over in the Sunday school classrooms, and on the buses, all of that, all the things that went on. You have to understand, it went on while a roof was damaged, and while the ceiling was deformed, and while all these things are taking place. Hey, the key to the place is the sovereign presence in the place. That's what matters more than anything else. In the basement of the library, we met with God. This altar is a wonderful place to pray, but I've prayed in a drainage ditch before, and it was no different than praying at the altar here, because God was there. Are you listening? Whether it's a camp, whether it's a conference, doesn't matter. Whether it's over in the school, whether it's downstairs at a little step that is made into an altar, doesn't matter, because the key is the sovereign presence, the one that you're meeting with. That's the most important thing. Whether it's Vacation Bible School with all the things that go on. Do you know how many children get saved at Vacation Bible School? And how many of you were saved at a Vacation Bible School? Raise your hand. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. People all over this room. I know pastors, I know missionaries saved as a child at a Vacation Bible School. And do you understand that it does not matter about our chandeliers? It doesn't matter to them. Doesn't matter whether we have baseboard or not. Do you understand? It doesn't matter. Because it's the sovereign presence. It's the Lord who changes our life. It can be at college, it can be at Vacation Bible School, it can be in the Christian school. The key is the sovereign presence of God being there. Amen. You see, here's the thing, and please get it. When you're sick, and I mean you don't feel well, it's not enough to just go visit the doctor's office. How many people say, "Did you go to the doctor's office?" Nobody ever says, "Did you go to the doctor's office?" They say, "Did you see the doctor?" Amen. Amen. Hey, next time you're sick, just go to the doctor's office. It's cheap. Seriously, just go and sit. You know, they might have some good medical books you can read. You say, "Oh, preacher, that ain't going to do me any good. I need the doctor." Uh-huh. Then don't just come to church. Don't just come to the building. You need the sovereign presence. I've said it for years and years and years. We have too many people playing church. And I'm going to tell you, Jacob woke up. He woke up. If your gas tank's empty, don't just go to the gas station. It's cheap just to go to the gas station. You can just pull in and sit. And you can save a lot of money. But when your gas tank's empty, go to the gas station and get gas. You hungry? It's not enough to just go to the restaurant. Huh? Get food. Get fed. And it's not enough just to come to the place. You need the sovereign presence. Now, we want a place to be nice. We've painted. Some people, really, honestly, it's been one of the greatest group activities I've ever seen at Berean Baptist Church has been just all this. It's been good. It's been fun. You know, I mean, honestly, we've laughed. We've had a good time. But and we want it to look nice to bring honor and glory to God. But don't miss it. Folks, a chandelier is not going to make you right with God. Carpet's not going to change your life. Amen. Amen. Tile or no tile. Rubber steps or not rubber. Whatever. That's not going to change your life. We want it to be nice. We want to be a good testimony. We want to give glory to our God. But let's be honest. Some of the greatest decisions, some of the greatest things that have happened in a tent with utility tables. Okay, you call them card tables. Huh? And they've even happened with those old nasty metal chairs that we used to use. We upgraded to plastic this year. Huh? But it's not the chairs. It's not the tables. It's not the tent. It's not, where'd that first place ribbon go, Brother Chase? You keep that? Huh. Well, I figured you would. Those are all nice things. But you know what? If somebody found the presence of Almighty God, some young person realized there's a God in heaven that loves them. Some adult came that had a need and they came to the RU booth and they saw some folks sitting there that were willing to give their time and they had all that literature there and they did and people came and they took a little piece of literature on cutting, a little piece of literature on drugs, a little piece of literature on some other addiction and they took that. Maybe they didn't want anybody to see them. They kind of quietly took it and didn't want somebody to see it, but they got it. But you know, it's in that literature they can be introduced to the sovereign presence that'll change their life. Hey, Jacob, was it because you laid your head on stones for a pillow? No. Was there something special about the dirt that you were laying on that night? No, that wasn't it. Well, Jacob, what was it? Well, it's when I woke out of my sleep that I said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place. Meet him. Get to know him. Amen. I mean, really get to know him. This isn't a game. This is not church for the sake of church. I don't know how many times in the years of my ministry I've heard somebody sing, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And it's only a song with words to them. Because they don't have a clue about that presence of the Lord in their life. And you know, honestly, you need to get to know him. Because he's real. And when we do get to know him, our lives can be changed. That's what it's all about. It's, you know, it's wonderful to see all the changes. It's nice to see upgrades and walls painted and things done and all that kind of thing. But it's nothing compared to what happens here in our hearts because of the sovereign presence. And so I come to my last point. Number one, I said it's a special place. Number two, a sovereign presence. And number three, it's a sacred persuasion. Because when you realize the presence of God Almighty and you find out it's more than just a place, you know what he said? He said, the Bible says that he was afraid and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. Amen. Now I understand our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But this place, just as with Jacob, it ought to be a house of God. It ought to be a place where God is worshiped, where God is talked about. It ought to be a place where God's word is preached, where people are challenged to walk with God and to grow close to God. It ought to be a place where prayers go up to God. It ought to be a place where there's a sacred persuasion. And I want to give you several things and I'll be done. The first thing is a godly fear. Stay with me now. A godly fear. He said, the Bible says he was afraid and said, why was he afraid? He realized this is God. I'm talking to God. And he's afraid. And he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And it was a godly fear that he had. Turn to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Keep your place in Genesis. I'm just about done. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Solomon had everything. Solomon had a good bank account. He had a retirement plan. He had property. He had it all. He had wisdom from God, and God blessed him. And he had it all. So Solomon, tell me, what is the whole duty of man? Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Here's what he says. He says, after everything, he says, this is vanity, that's vanity, it's empty, it's nothing. He says this, let us hear the whole conclusion, or let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I want to conclude with this, fear God. Now, Solomon, I promise you, you'd be kicked out of a lot of churches today. You wouldn't be allowed to speak in a lot of places today. It's not popular, Solomon. Do you understand? It's not politically correct. It doesn't go along with the ideas of most Christians today. But Solomon, who was pretty sharp, he said, fear God. Oh, and this thing is antiquated, and keep his commandments. Solomon, really? Solomon, didn't you know that there's a new movement today that all you have to do is just love God, get saved, and then just do whatever you want to do? Solomon says, well, I asked God a long time ago for wisdom, and he gave it to me. And here's what I'm telling you, fear God and keep his commandments. I'm not going to quit preaching fear God and keep his commandments. And Solomon said this, for this is the whole duty of man. What? That sums it up. Fear God and keep his commandments. Most of our young people here would say, that sounds like Pastor Rogers saying, just do right. It's kind of what it sounds like, doesn't it? Fear God and keep his commandments. God is not a warm, cuddly, teddy bear kind of a God. He is God. Amen. He is God. And Jacob figured it out as he realized in that certain place, that special place, he recognized the sovereign presence of God. And he said, I'm afraid. Why? Because he realized what God could do. And God controls it all. You want to have a fair ministry? And you want to see people saved? That isn't up to us. It's up to God. We can get the tent. We can bring the tables. We can set up the chairs. We can have the little drawing to draw the crowd in. We can put little flowers. We can give away free Kool-Aid. But it isn't up to us to save anybody. We're not trying to entertain the community. Are you listening? That's pretty good preaching. I'm kind of enjoying myself. We're not trying to entertain anybody. We're not having a tent just to wet their whistle. Amen? Uh-uh. No. We're going to introduce them to God and give them an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Wait. Next 2 weeks, Vacation Bible School. We do all kinds of stuff. We go crazy. We have ordered quality gifts from far, far away. We have stuff we haven't even thought of yet. I mean, it's amazing. Now look, folks. But we don't do, somebody says, don't you go a little overboard? Listen to me. We're trying to get a crowd because we got something to tell them. But bigger than that, we have someone to introduce them to. And boy, we're going to go wild with it. Amen? But we're not going to walk away from the fear of God. And I cannot get out of my mind Chad Dahlberg getting that big old teen boy after those boys were kind of mocking him, making boys and girls laughing at him in the tent. And I watched that teen boy get his lighter out and hold it under his arm. And he couldn't do it. Whoa! And Chad said, that's just for 2 seconds. Right. Now, I don't recommend you know that we do that to our little kids and stuff. But I recommend that people understand hell is real. And it is eternal. And it's flames and it's hot. And it's what caused me to come to Jesus at the age of 17. I realized hell was hot. And if somebody would have messed around with that story and somebody would have messed around and just talked about some teddy bear kind of a God in heaven that just loves everybody, I'm not sure that I would have ever gotten saved. Godly fear. People won't get saved if there's not a reason to get saved. Huh? Have you ever thought why there's so much stupidity in the world? I watched a lot of stupidity this last week, didn't you? I saw stupidity magnified. Tuesday night was the biggest stupidity around, coming from the grandstand. You say, preacher, you're going to make people mad. I've made lots of people mad over, and I'm not going to stop making people mad. I'm talking about stupidity. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And when there's no fear of the Lord, there's stupidity. One of our people said the worst, loudest, most headache kind of music was Tuesday night, and that was the Christian group. Go ahead. I'm going to tell somebody. Tell them. Let them put it on Facebook. I'll sign it. If I knew how. You ever thought there's a lot of foolishness in the world? There is. Well, Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. There's a lack of wisdom because there's a lack of the fear of the Lord. There's a lack of knowledge because there's a lack of the fear of the Lord. Godly fear, that sacred persuasion when you wake up and realize the Lord was here and I knew it not. There's godly fear. There's godly worship. Verses 18 and 19, Jacob rose up early in the morning and took this. When's the last time you got up early in the morning and fell on your knees and talked to God? Don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about it. When's the last time? When's the last time? 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. You thought you were getting up to use the bathroom, but in reality, God woke you up because he wanted to talk to you. He wanted you to tell him how wonderful he is. He wanted you to tell him how great he's been. He wanted, because he heard night after night, time after time, all the griping and all the complaining and all the, why came we forth out of Egypt and all that garbage. And he wanted to hear some of his kids say, oh God, you're so great. And Jacob got up early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put for his pillows and he set it up for a pillar. And poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first, and Bethel, by the way, means the house of God. And he recognized this is the house of God. Now, I don't know, maybe when he went to sleep that night as he curled up with his rocks, maybe he felt a little sorry for himself. Maybe he thought, you know, I've left my home and I don't really know what's going to happen and I'm afraid and maybe he felt a little sorry for himself. But in the morning, when he realized God was there, he realized it's not about Jacob, it's about God. It's not about how Jacob feels, it's about God. Cain used the world's method and God refused to accept that method of worship. Hello. Godly worship. Godly fear. Godly worship. How about some godly decisions when you realize God's there? Verse 20. Jacob vowed a vow. You know, we live in a day, folks aren't wanting to vow vows. I'll be honest with you. I appreciate Gary, my new brother-in-law. because he married my sister. Instead of what so many people, well, let's just live together. And they chose to have a good, pure dating relationship. And they're old. I can always say that because she's older than I am. She used to flaunt that all the time. Well, I'm older than you are. Well, now it kind of goes the other way a little bit. But you know, the way of the world is, oh, well, what about my things? What about my, are y'all listening to me? What about it will mess up our inheritances for our kids. Well, it'll mess up our estate, so we'll just live together. Phooey, hogwash, pig slop, out of hell, wrong, wrong, wrong. But you don't make right decisions until you recognize the sovereign presence of God Almighty. You can fight it and fight it and fight it. Jacob vowed a vow. Nobody wants to vow vows. Well, I heard them vow vows. Nobody, people don't want to do it anymore. People, more and more young people are living together. That's not marriage. It's barnyard animals. That's all it is. It is not, and vowing a vow. But that shouldn't shock us. And we get all bent out of shape because that's what the world is doing. But I see it right here at Berean Baptist Church when folks won't get on an altar anymore like they used to and say, God, this is what I'm going to do. You know why we don't do it? Because we don't mean to keep it. We're not vowing vows anymore. Well, I'm just afraid I might, you know, not keep it. How about just having the intestinal fortitude and the character to do what you said you'd do? Amen. Amen. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And he did it. Amen. Godly decisions. And the more you get to know God, the easier it is to make those decisions. I'm just about done. You said that a while ago. Well, I was. I just had added some things. Godly fear, godly worship, godly decisions. How about a godly submission? Then shall the Lord be my God. Amen. If all you have is the place, you have a chance to reverse your submission all the time if it's just about the place. In other words, a decision that you made, you can easily say, well, I didn't really mean it. I'm hearing it all the time. Well, I didn't really mean it. Really? You mean when you were at camp, you didn't really mean it? When you poured your heart out to God and God got a hold of your heart and you didn't have TV for a week and you didn't have the radio for a week and you didn't have your stupid cell phone for a week and you didn't text for a week and you were at camp and you were in the woods and you were alone with God and at night you counseled with Brother Varnum and it was late and you talked to Mrs. Varnum or you talked to Miss Misty and it was late and you were up all night and you were in tears and you were weeping and you poured your heart out to God and you opened up your heart and you said, oh God, I want to be used. Oh, that you didn't mean that. Huh. You just didn't mean it though, right? That's because all you have is a place. You need the presence of God in your life. I'm so tired of folks that say, well, you know, yes, I know. I grew up in church and I went 4 years to Bible college and I went to the camps and the conferences and I made all these decisions, but in reality, you know, I've come to the realization I didn't really mean it. Hogwash. You're just backslid. And you've gotten away from the God that in whose presence you made those vows and you submitted and now it's just a game. I'm going to tell you, it's not a game. It's not a game. When I was 17 years old and I fell on my knees and called out to God to save me, I meant it. In the back seat of that bus when God called me to preach and I said, I'll preach, God, whatever it takes, I meant it. And I ain't quitting. You say, well, I was just caught up in the moment. You need to get caught up in getting to know God. And walking with Him and submitting to Him. And when you submit to Him, stay submitted. And when you love Him, He says, His commandments are not grievous. I say it all the time, and I still mean this. One of the biggest decisions, life-changing decisions in my life. It seems so stupid today. I was devastated. Brenda cried. We were tore up because the pastor said, if you're going to work in our Christian school, you have to get your hair cut. I'll be honest with you, it's not too many mornings I don't look in the mirror and laugh. How in the world that could have been a difficult decision? And we've got folks in this room, honestly, you're dealing with the same kind of foolishness and silliness in your life. Just submit to Him. Just submit to Him. Oh, I would not give anything, not all the hair in the world, to undo what God's done all these years after I made that decision years ago. Godly fear, godly worship, godly decisions, godly submission. And then finally, verse 22, and this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And it's godly giving. It all just falls together. Godly giving. It's a sacred persuasion when you get to know Him. Just God, it's yours. It's just not hard anymore to give to God. It isn't hard. God speaks, we give. You say, well, you've got lots and lots. Oh, I'm loaded. I am. It's amazing. It really is amazing. I make the same thing I made for the last 12 years. Same thing. I'm loaded. I've got savings. It's unbelievable. Do we have a savings? I think you wiped it out, didn't you? Or I did, I'm sure. But, you know, folks, it's God's. Did any of you happen to look at the back of the bulletin from last week? I don't understand any of that. Don't get it. But I know God. And I know God's in control. Do you understand? That little table right there is paid for. Amen. Do you know that little table right there is paid for? Do you understand those four chairs out there? There's no money in this church. We don't have any wealthy people here, but all those chairs are paid for. Do you understand those driveways are both paid for? Amen. Do you realize that God just put a new roof on our building over there? A 20-year warranty. I don't think I'll ever have to deal with it again. Isn't that good? It's exciting. You say, what, you're going to die? I don't know, maybe. Or the rapture is going to take place, and then the Antichrist gets it, and I hope it leaks. I'm just saying. Honestly, think, folks. Think about this thing. I mean, that rug that's out there, that rug is paid for. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all paid for. I mean, that brown paper on the floor, that's paid for. Now, that isn't a big deal. But God is so good. You'll never, ever, ever outgive God. Amen. Jacob, he learned something. He learned it's not about the place. It's about the person in the place. It's all about God. And folks, that's what it's all about. Doesn't matter whether you're in the fellowship hall. Doesn't matter if you're in the auditorium. Doesn't matter if you're out in the yard in the tent. Here's what matters is the sovereign presence of God Almighty. Is He in your life?